Good morning. This is more than I expected to see. In fact, after Sunday school, I heard someone saying, if anyone stays, Joel's preaching. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 1. And I want to read with you from verse 17. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow, because it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields or offerings. There the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our Father, as we look into thy word this morning, we pray that thy name may be exalted and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ may be lifted. We pray that we, thy people, today may be challenged. Father, if there are any here today who know not the Savior, that even today they may come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. To this end, we pray thy blessing upon us, that thy glory may be revealed and thy name may be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. I want this morning to bring a message in tribute to Phil Baumberger. Had the purpose and plan of God have been different, he would have been here this morning opening the Word of God. And in his warmth and love, expounding to us the glories of God and of his grace and of his goodness. I want to make it very clear from the outset, my purpose is not to exalt Phil Baumberger. He would, as I do, would laugh at the very thought of that, but to exalt Phil Baumberger's Savior and to remember a life that was lived to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to preach the glorious gospel that Phil loved to preach. I want to take as my text the words of verse 26 that we read together. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. David's distress was not for Jonathan's eternity. When I use those words of our brother Phil this morning, it is not that I am distressed about his eternity. For I have absolute confidence in the truth of the gospel and of the experience of the gospel that Phil had, that when he passed from this scene of time, he passed into the very presence of the Lord. No in-between places. No other places of preparation. He had been to the only place of preparation that has ever been necessary. He had been to the cross, and he had trusted the Savior. So why was David distressed? Well, I want to suggest to you that David's distress was for the nation and for the people and for his own heart. His distress was the sense of loss of one that he had fellowship with and one that he had loved in the Lord. I want to suggest to you two simple things this morning. First of all, that I have sadness because a great man is gone in a day when there are very few great men. Phil Baumberger not only had a heart for God, he had a heart for God's people. I remember the first time I ever met him. I went into the home of a brother who worshipped at Sanford Chapel all his life and carried the burden that his own brother was in prison, been there for a very long time. I went to visit him. They had just arrived back, and Phil was sitting there. About 20 minutes later, Phil left, and the brother turned to me and he said, "Do you know that for all the years that my brother has been in prison, Phil comes every month faithfully, picks me up, and takes me to visit with him, and faithfully shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with him?" Now, that wasn't just traveling from Graham to Sanford. That was traveling from Graham to Sanford to White Lake, back to Sanford and back to Graham, faithfully discharging his ministry to God's people. See, he didn't just have a heart for God. He had a heart for the people of God. I remember when the Lord took Graham from us that Phil took my place in the pulpit here, and that afternoon he came out to the home. And he and I went into a quiet place together, and he wept like a baby. He looked at me and he said, "Joe, I'm not going to stay very long," he said, "because my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that we love you." Time came for us to leave Sanford Chapel. It was a difficult time. And it always seemed that at the hardest times that the telephone would ring and Phil would be there to say, "We love you. Don't give up. Be encouraged. God still has a purpose, and none of this changes the purpose of God." Phil didn't only call, Phil prayed. And Phil didn't only pray, Phil encouraged. I spent a lot of time last weekend with Mr. McNeil, and I have to tell you, I have to stop in the middle of this and say that on Monday afternoon when Herb brought Mr. McNeil back, he got out of the vehicle and he leaned on the back of the vehicle, and Mr. McNeil walked past me and he said, "He's had me walking for hours." I actually wondered who the 89-year-old was. But many of the stories that Mr. McNeil told me as we talked about Phil were stories of a great man with a great heart for God. And beloved, we have the ability to say today from this pulpit what David said of Jonathan: "Very pleasant was he to me." And we, the people of God, can say that today of the man Phil Bomberg. Many can say the same things as I have said. The one thing that I will always remember is his hearty laugh. He loved to pick. He loved to laugh. He was a man who loved God and who loved God's people. Second thing I want to suggest to you is that not only is a great man gone from us, but a great servant of God has gone from us. A faithful servant of God in a day when faithful servants of God are few. I remember a man coming up to me when I told him that I was preaching at Graham Bible Fellowship. He came to warn me that some of the other assemblies might not like it. He told me that Phil wasn't well liked. And I said, "You know, that's not true." I said, "Phil is well liked. They don't like his message. They don't like the stand he takes." He could have been a conference preacher. He could have been invited to every assembly everywhere in the United States of America, like many others are. I want to suggest to you this morning, he didn't, because he chose a pathway of faithfulness to the Word of God. He chose to preach and to teach what God laid on his heart. A vision of God who is sovereign. I was so glad when they brought out last Monday evening that Phil Bomberger loved the doctrines of grace. I really was. I remember one night he and I talked on the phone, and we were talking about Gadsby's hymn book. And he said, "You know, I have a copy of that, but I never read it." And I said, "Well, we used to use it in the church I was in southern England, and I love it." So I told him, I said, "You go and read number 222. About 15 minutes later, the phone rang again, and Phil was on the phone, and it was a mixture of tears and laughter. He said, "Man," he said, "that's tremendous. What makes mistaken man afraid of sovereign grace to preach? The reason is, if truth be told, because he is so rich. Why so offensive in his eyes does God's election seem? Because he deems himself so wise as to have chosen him." And he laughed heartily. He laughed with that laughter that only Phil could laugh. Why? because that was his experience, that many preachers didn't preach grace because they thought they were too wise. We will miss Phil, not only as a man, but as a faithful man of God. You know what David says about Jonathan? He said, "Don't tell the Philistines that Jonathan has died. Don't let it be published in Gath, where Goliath came from. Don't let it be published in the streets of Ascalon. Why? Because the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. And the daughters of the uncircumcised will triumph." I've said it already. He could have been one of the most widely accepted preachers in America. Why wasn't he? Because he chose to be faithful to the Word of God. He believed in a message that gave God the glory. He believed in a Savior who finished the work that he came to do. He believed in a salvation that was of God from eternity past to eternity to come. It was graciously applied to the hearts of men and women by God the Holy Spirit. Even in his illness, I called him about a week before the Lord took him home. And in his own inimitable way, he said to me, "Joe, none of this has taken God by surprise. None of this is outside of God's purpose for my life. God's still in control. I know that he would have loved to be able to stay with Phyllis and with the family and with the fellowship and with the preaching. But I also know that Phil Bomberger is not disappointed today. He's at home with the Lord." I want to stop for a moment and ask, what made Phil Bomberger the man that he was? And the first thing I would suggest to you is that he believed in saving grace. Preacher last week made it absolutely clear that you couldn't talk to Phil for very long before he started talking to you about the Lord. Before he started talking to you about the Savior. Before he started talking to you about saving grace. He never took any credit at all for his own salvation. He never ever dreamed for a moment that anything that he had ever done could have brought about his salvation. He believed in salvation that was by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. He believed in saving grace. He had seen people come to know the Lord through his preaching on many occasions. And he didn't count numbers because he gave all the glory to Jesus Christ and all the glory to God. And you know, he didn't only believe in saving grace. He believed in sovereign grace. That in the message that he preached, God was to be preeminent. And Christ was to be preeminent. And not that man could ever be preeminent. That we are saved by God's mercy according to God's will. And not because of man's will. I mentioned that even in his illness, he was totally surrendered to the will of his loving Heavenly Father. Phil not only knew sovereign grace and saving grace, he knew the hope of grace. I believe his experience of the grace of God increased as his final days came. I talked with Phyllis, I talked with Paul. They confirmed for me that what I had heard and from visitors and on the phone, no sense of panic. You know, it's easy to profess something right up until it comes to put it to the test. But there was no sense of panic. And no complaints. He was willing to just keep his hand in the Lord's hand and walk with the Lord, whatever the Lord's pathway meant and wherever the Lord's pathway led. He was willing to keep his eyes on the Lord Jesus, his heart in the Word of God, until he went out to see Jesus face to face. I remember Phil with sadness because his ministry will be sadly missed. The many times he filled our hearts as he opened the Word of God. Brother Jonathan went to see him. He said, I had planned to speak on the kingdom, Christ in the kingdom, I believe it was. He said, I'm going to send Joe the notes. Maybe he'll share them with you. I haven't got them yet, but I hope to get them. You see, I'm absolutely certain that what is in them is biblically Christ-centered teaching and preaching. And I promise you this, if I do get them, I will share them with you as a remembrance of a brother who loved the Word and who loved the Lord. Yes, his ministry will be missed, but I remember Phil Bomberger this morning with joy. Someone asked me today, what we do in heaven? Paul took me aside on Monday night and he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, what do you think the first thing he did when he got to heaven was? I'll not tell you what I said. It was negative. He said, I'll bet you he went to find out who really wrote the book of Hebrews. He went to find out who really wrote the book of Hebrews. I thought, I'll tell you what I said, I thought he had gone to heaven, gone around heaven looking for all the men who now believe in sovereign grace. See, I told you it was negative. What effect should Phil's passing and Phil's life have on us? I want to suggest two things. First, it should be a testimony that we would do well to follow. That we, in our remembrance of Phil and in our love for the Word of God, would say, Lord, we are not going to compromise your truth. Not for popularity, not for anything else. We're just going to preach and to live what your word says. What a testimony. What a remembrance to leave behind. To be a faithful servant who faithfully declared his master's word. But not only is it a testimony that you and I ought to follow, it's a warning that we ought to heed. When I heard the report from the doctor that the cancer was in the liver, in my own wisdom, I sat down and I thought, 3 months, 6 months at the very most, 8 days. 8 days. You know, there may be someone in this meeting who's 8 days from eternity. But unlike Phil Bomberger, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike Phil Bomberger, they don't have the hope that the grace of God brings. See, I'm sad because his preaching will be missed, but I'm so glad that I'm going to see him again in glory. I didn't go last Monday night to say goodbye. I went last Monday night to say goodnight, brother. We'll see you in the morning of God's eternal day. We'll share with you the glory of heaven, the pure, untainted vision of the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you this morning? Phil is being called to higher service. Phil has entered into the glorious presence of the God of heaven, of the Savior whom he loved. But what happens if it's you that's 8 days from eternity? What happens if it's you that's 1 day from eternity? See, you can remember Phil with tremendous love and passion and know in your heart that you don't know his Savior as your Savior. Phil's passing is yet a reminder that in the midst of life we are in death. That eternity comes and very often comes unexpectedly and quickly. I have many wonderful memories, but I have also a tremendous hope and knowledge that one day we'll see him again who loved the Lord. His presence will be missed. His preaching will be missed. But thank God, one day soon, we'll not only see Jesus, but we'll see all those redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We sang that lovely hymn, "When the roll is called up yonder." Well, you know, when the roll is called up yonder, Phil Bomberger will be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. There are others in this meeting this morning, and many of them, who can say with the truth in their heart, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, the tragedy if there is even one who doesn't know the truth and who doesn't know the reality of that hope. That when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. Because you've been redeemed, saved by the grace of God, just as Phil Bomberger was redeemed. Just as Phil Bomberger was saved by the grace of God. We pay tribute to him by paying tribute to his Savior and to his Lord. We follow his testimony as one who willingly surrendered to the will of a sovereign God. But we warn you with love. Don't take life for granted. Don't take eternity for granted. Make sure you know Phil Bomberger's Savior. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Father, we thank you for the life of a man, a friend, a preacher, a servant of God. A life that we will long remember and thank thee for the many blessings that flowed into our lives by your grace in his life. We would remember his dear wife and family today, that you would draw near to them and that you would comfort them and that you would remind them that it will not be long until we see him again. Father, most of all, we pray for any in this meeting who do not know the Savior that Phil left. Oh, Father, that even today you would be gracious to any who don't know him, and that you would save them before it's too late. And remember thy word that says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We wait with anticipation for what the weather will do. And yet, our Father, we know that at any moment Jesus should come. Oh, grant that we might be ready. Bless now thy word to us. Bless us throughout this thy day. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.